from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. MPR chairperson Zulkifli Hasan emphasizes the importance of teachers for the future of the world. Bank Indonesia affirms confidence in Indonesian economy strengthens rupiah. Now the news in detail. Chairperson of People's Consultative Assembly MPR Zulkifli Hasan emphasized the importance of teachers' major role for the world. The statement was made by Chairman Zulkifli Hasan after a laying ceremony of the construction of the Muhammadiyah Teachers Tower. Professor Dr. Hamka Uhamka Teaching and Education Faculty in East Jakarta Friday. He said that the research proves that there will be world's 9 ruling countries in the future, such as Singapore, Macau, South Korea, Hong Kong, and Vietnam. He perceived that the 9 countries are estimated to be able to control the world because they have a good education system and their younger generation has mastered science, technology, and mathematics very well. He also added that he supports all efforts made by the government and Muhammadiyah to improve the quality of teachers and the world of education in general, so the Indonesian nation can produce good quality young generations in the future. Governor Bank Indonesia BI Ferry Warjio affirmed that the rise in confidence in the national economy helps the rupiah strengthen against the dollar. He said in Jakarta on Friday that thankfully the rupiah's exchange rate remains stable and strong. It traded at 40,300 rupiah and even at 40,270 per US dollar. He added that rupiah strengthening was the result of various factors including confidence in the Indonesian economy and the policy that the country has continued to pursue. Governor Ferry further pointed out that the appreciation of rupiah was also attributable to the inflow of foreign capital in domestic portfolios in the form of state securities, SPN, and shares. Bank Indonesia recorded the total foreign capital invested in the state securities in November 2018 at 34.25 trillion rupiah, bringing the total foreign capital invested in the state securities since January 2018 to 62.4 trillion rupiah. Romanian ambassador to Indonesia, Valerica Yufurt, hoped in Jakarta on Friday that on Romania's 100th independence anniversary, bilateral cooperation between Romania and Indonesia will be increasingly enhanced. In 2017, trade cooperation between Indonesia increased by 10% compared to the previous year. One way to improve it, according to the ambassador, is through the establishment of a comprehensive economic partnership agreement between Indonesia and European Union, SEPA. She also hopes the discussion of agreement can be completed sooner so that both sides can open new opportunities for economic cooperation.
We hope that the negotiations of an ambitious and substantive EU-Indonesia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, SEPA, will be finalized sooner rather than later, thus opening new opportunities of economic cooperation for all parties. I am persuaded that there are many fold possibilities for our bilateral cooperation, and that together we'll be able to further strengthen our cooperation, also in environment, management of the risks of disasters, sustainable development of the economy, ITC, processing industry, and tourism.
In addition to the trade cooperation, which increased in 2017 by 10% compared to the previous year, Ambassador Valerica also said that Indonesia and Romania also collaborate within the framework of international cooperation, one of which is the membership in the United Nations. She viewed that both countries have a good record in encouraging the creation of peace, enforcement of international law, mutual respect, dialogue, and multilateralism. Romania is also committed to supporting Indonesia as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the period 2019-2020. Indonesia has implemented a financial inclusion policy that provides easy access to women in the economic digital era. This was affirmed by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati in a panel discussion session entitled The Role of Finance for Women's Economic Empowerment. The panel discussion was one part of a series of G20 annual meetings that took place in Buenos Aires, Argentina on Thursday, local time. Based on a press statement from the Minister of Finance received in Jakarta on Friday, in the discussion, Minister Sri Mulyani explained that so far more women have worked in the informal sector because it is in accordance with their characteristic, which are still able to look after the family. The engagement of women in the economic sector is also supported by the easy access to technology that can provide connections to financial inclusion. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman appreciated the performance of Agriculture Quarantine Agency Barantan for the control of illegal commodities entering Indonesia within Aceh during 2018. The Agriculture Quarantine Agency noted that over the last 4 years, the number of trafficked destruction of agriculture commodities had increased from 852 in 2015 to 2056 in 2018. This was affirmed by Minister Amran at the Minister of Agriculture headquarters in Jakarta on Friday. The most destroyed commodities are plant seeds such as vegetable seeds, plantation seeds, onion seeds, processed food products such as meat, meal and sauces, onions and garlic, fruits and poultry. Meanwhile, the catch volume is 8,701 tons. To avoid the threat of potential infestation of pets and plants, the Agriculture Quarantine Agency cooperates with Indonesian Police Polri and Armed Forces TNI in four front zones: the coastal areas of Sumatra, Kalimantan, Sulawesi and surrounding areas, the Nusa Tenggara region and its surroundings, and the Papua and surrounding borders. The National Counterterrorism Agency BNPT empowers former terrorists and survivors of terrorist victims through entrepreneurship to improve their welfare. That was stated by BNPT Director of Protection Brigadier General Herman Haider while inaugurating Pop Warun in Manan Village, Sukoharjo, Central Java on Friday. Pop Warun is a micro business with a modern personal cafe or warun, which is supported by digital technology. Pop Warun is the name of a business network launched by PT Sukses Bersama Rakyat, SBR. BNPT and Pop Warun collaborate to provide 10 stalls ready to be distributed to 10 people. He also said that the presence of a Pop Warun is a place for survivors and former combatants to improve the economy, so they could not return to their old network. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry or Kadin of the Aceh Chapter and Andaman Chapter of Commerce and Industry of India have established cooperation in the trade sector. The cooperation was marked by the signing of trade collaboration note by Chairman of Aceh Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Musakir Manap, and his counterpart Chairman of Andaman Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Sri Giris Arora, in the Port Blair, India. The signing of the cooperation was also witnessed by Indonesian Ambassador to India, Siddhartha Suryadipuro. Musakir stated in Banda Aceh on Friday that Aceh has great potential for natural resources to develop and it's open to all parties for business and investment, let alone this cooperation with neighbors, the Andaman Nicobar Islands. He also said that the site is currently working hard to accelerate economic development in the local area. The cooperation was facilitated by the Agency for the Assessment and Development of Asia-Pacific and African Policy and the Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs. The last item, the Governor of West Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara, NTB, received an award as district that has 100% accredited community health centers from the Ministry of Health. This was stated by Head of West Lombok Health Service, Rahman Sanan Putra, in West Lombok on Friday. He pointed out that the word certificate has become specific prestige because only West Lombok and Mataram in NTB have 100% accredited health centers. Besides, the accreditation also functions so that the community health centers will continually improve the service system, quality and performance evaluation based on the Universal Health Coverage UHC service. Especially in the future, the community health center must continue to improve its performance. Especially in BPJS service, the community can choose to be served by higher level clinic. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
This is RRI VOI with news from Indonesia, bringing you info from across the country in a week. I'll start with information from Banyuwangi, East Java. A total of 15 travel agents and 6 Malaysian media visited a number of tourist attractions in Banyuwangi Regency from November 27 to December 1st. This visit was carried out ahead of the opening of the international flight Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia to Banyuwangi, East Java on December 19th. Nurdian Shah, Deputy Director of the Southeast Asia Exhibition at the Ministry of Tourism in Banyuwangi, Friday said the visit was facilitated by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs through the Indonesian Consulate General in Johor Bahru and the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism. In Banyuwangi, they were invited, among others, to Plengkung Beach or G-Land, which has world-class surf waves, Bangsering Underwater, Tabuhan Island, and enjoy Banyuwangi's distinctive art culture tours. Nurdiansyah said that direct flights will increase the number of Malaysian tourist arrivals to Indonesia. This year, the Ministry of Tourism targets 2.7 million tourists from Malaysia. Until last September, 1.9 million Malaysian tourists traveled to Indonesia. The next news came from North Kayong, West Kalimantan. North Kayong Regent Citra Duani, representing Sutra Village, Sukadana District, received an award from the Ministry of Village as the best village in the Village Building Index (IDM) as the best village in the Village Building Index (IDM) category in Jakarta, Thursday, November 29th. Citra said that the IDM category award signifies the Sutra Village government has built its region in the right direction, be it economic, social, or environmental. The head of Sutra Village, Ripai, after receiving the award, said that it was natural that Sutra Village received an award through the change of status from developed villages to independent villages. The village located in the center of the capital city of the regency is much better in all aspects compared to other villages, such as the basic health service infrastructure where health workers from nurse doctors and midwives are available in the Sutra Village. Likewise, from the aspect of education, Sutra has all levels of education, from early education to high school. The distance to the schools is very close. The Sutra Village community can enjoy various communication means, data and entertainment services such as landlines, high-speed internet, and interactive television services with IPTV technology or UCTV. Thank you. latest news came from North Kalimantan. This year, 83 points of wireless fidelity or Wi-Fi are installed throughout the province of North Kalimantan. All Wi-Fi is handled by the provincial government through the Office of Communication and Information in collaboration with the National Telecommunications Operator PT Telkom. According to data, of the 83 Wi-Fi allocations, 51 have been installed in public areas such as hospitals, ports, parking lots, and markets. North Kalimantan Governor Irianto Lambri said on Thursday that the purpose of the free Wi-Fi installation was to support internet access for the community. Furthermore, free Wi-Fi is also to encourage the development of community insight and boost the growth of the digital economy. The service set identifier SSID Wi-Fi speed is considered suitable and sufficient for the general public in the province to seek information from the internet. In addition, the Office of Communication and Information also provides additional internet network points specifically for high schools to support the implementation of the computer-based national examination. Not only that, Diskominfo also provides internet networks for community health center or puskesmas in Tanjung Selor, as well as supporting educational activities. Well, listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. The first information is about the resignation of Muhammad Hatta as the Indonesian Vice President. Muhammad Hatta, or better known as Bung Hatta, was an Indonesian fighter, statesman, economist, as well as the first Indonesian Vice President. Along with Soekarno, Muhammad Hatta contributed significantly to achieving the independence of Indonesian nation from the invasion of the Netherlands and proclaimed the Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945. Hatta had also become the Indonesian Prime Minister. On December 1956, Hatta resigned as the Indonesian Vice President due to having disagreement with President Soekarno. The second information is about the signing of the Antarctic Treaty. The Antarctic continent is the last continent discovered by humans. There are many nations which want to take control of the continent. Therefore, in a bid to regulate the management of the continent, the Antarctic Treaty was established and signed on December 1, 1959. According to the treaty, the Antarctic continent would be used for peaceful purposes so that all activities related to military, such as the establishment of military base, military exercise and weapon testing are forbidden to take place in the continent. Besides, the treaty allows the continent to be used, especially to Pacific purposes. Scientists must inform about the continent to the other scientists. They even can freely explore the continent. All biodiversity in the continent is protected communally. The countries which agree with the treaty include Argentina, Belgium, Chile, France, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, United Kingdom, North Ireland, and the USA. The last information is about the International AIDS Day. The International AIDS Day was firstly initiated in 1977 by James W. Bund and Thomas Nather, two officials of the World Health Organization, or WHO, in Geneva, Switzerland. They conveyed the idea to head of the UNAIDS a joint committee established for HIV/AIDS programs at the UN named Dr. Jonathan Mend. Dr. Mend liked the concept of the International AIDS Day and agreed to establish the International AIDS Day on 1st December 1988. Ban initiated 1st December as the date. He estimated a date which could attract mass media in the US, a date which coincided with the 1988 US general elections. Despite of having been initiated since 1988, the International AIDS Day was activated in 1966. The commemoration has been used to promote the harm of the disease and ways to prevent it. That's today in history.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI VOI with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on the government affirms protection against MSMEs. The Indonesian government finally decided to return the five business sectors that were previously to be crossed from the negative investment list, which is a list of business sectors that foreign investment may not enter. The five business sectors previously excluded in the group were micro, small, and medium enterprises (MSMEs) and cooperatives, as well as groups that needed partnership requirements. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution announced it in Jakarta on Wednesday, November 28. Previously, in the 16th economic policy package, which was announced a few days ago, the government planned to move out 54 business fields from the negative investment list in the relaxation program. According to Darmin Nasution, President Joko Widodo himself requested that these five MSME fields not to be excluded from the negative investment list (DNI). They are stripping and tubers, fabric printing industry, knit fabrics, especially lace, internet cafes, and retail trade through postal and internet ordering. With the cancellation of the five business sectors, there are 49 remaining businesses planned to be excluded from the negative investment list and can receive investments from both domestic investment (PMDN) and foreign investment (PMA). President Joko Widodo, in his remarks at the closing of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry National Leadership Meeting in Solo, Central Java, Wednesday, November 28, decided to re-enter these five fields into the DNI after communicating and listening to the aspirations of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry and the Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association. The President stressed the core of this policy was the government's commitment to micro, small, and medium enterprises. The President acknowledged the contribution of MSMEs to the Indonesian economy was very significant. At present, there are around 62 million MSMEs that absorb 116 million workers. This means that more than 80% of Indonesia's workforce is absorbed by MSMEs. According to President Joko Widodo, the contribution of MSMEs to Indonesia's gross domestic product reached 60%. Meanwhile, Kadin General Chairperson Rosan Perkasa Ruslani said the Chamber of Commerce and Industry appreciated the President's decision. According to him, the relaxation policy of DNI related to MSMEs has caused many interpretations, causing unrest among business actors. Business operators are concerned that the business sector of MSMEs may be entered into 100% of foreign capital. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
Hear news in brief read by Rahmana. Chairperson of the People's Consultative Assembly PR Suki Plihasan emphasized the importance of teachers' major role for the future world. The statement was made by Chairman Suki Plihasan after the laying ceremony of the construction of the Muhammadiyah Teachers Tower Professor Dr. Amkau Hangka Teaching Education Faculty at East Jakarta on Friday. Governor of Bank Indonesia BI Ferry Warjio affirmed that the rise in confidence in the national economy helps the rupiah strengthen against the dollar. Romanian Ambassador to Indonesia Valerica Iupurt hoped in Jakarta on Friday that on Romania's 100th independence anniversary, bilateral cooperation between Romania and Indonesia will be increasingly enhanced. Indonesia has implemented a financial inclusion policy that provides easy access to women in the economic digital era. This was affirmed by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati in a panel discussion session entitled The Role of Finance for Women's Economic Empowerment. The panel discussion was one part of a series of G20 annual meetings that took place in Buenos Aires, Argentina on Thursday local time. Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman appreciated the performance of Agriculture Quarantine Agency for the control of illegal commodities entry in Indonesia during 2018. The National Counter-Terrorism Agency BNPT empowers former terrorists and survivors of terrorist victims through entrepreneurship to improve their welfare. This was stated by BNPT Director of Protection Brigadier General Hermawan Haidir while inaugurating Pop Warun in Manan Village, Sukoharjo, Central Java on Friday. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry of Kadin of the Aceh Chapter and Andaman Chamber of Commerce and Industry of India have established cooperation in the trade sector. The cooperation was marked by the signing of trade collaboration note by Chairman of the Aceh Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Musakir Manaf, and his counterpart, Chairman of Andaman Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Sri Giris Arora, in Port Blair, India. The government of West Lombok Regency, West Nusa Tenggara NTB, received an award as district that has 100% accredited community health centers from the Ministry of Health. This was stated by Head of West Lombok Health Service, Rahman Sahnan Putra, in West Lombok on Friday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Malang, East Java. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id. Malang City has its own attraction which is very tempting to be visited by tourists. Although its location is isolated, the place has beautiful exotic nature. Air Jenon Water Springs is the name of the place which is currently visited by a lot of tourists. Listener, Jenon Water Springs is located at Gunung Ronggo Village, Tajinan District, Malang Regency. The water springs has beautiful clear water, which has turquoise color and very exotic. If sunlight illuminates the water springs, Jenon Water Springs has various depth, beginning from 1.5 and 4 meters. In the water springs, there is some fresh and sangkaring fish, which makes the water springs more beautiful. At the eastern of the pool, there is a big fallen tree which is hundreds years old that adds exoticism of the Jenon water springs. Listener, The location of the Jenon Water Springs is only around 20 kilometers from Malang City. If you use personal car, you only take 45 minutes. From Malang City, you can take the road to Gadang Bululawang. Arriving at the junction of Bululawang Market, you will see the direction to Tajinan. You just follow the direction until Gunung Renggo Village. At the village, you just look for a big statue of Sangkaring Fish at the right road because that is the location of Jenon Water Springs. This tourism object is free of charge. You only pay parking ticket, which is only 5,000 rupiahs. Listener, after parking your car, the trip is continued by trekking 50 meters to Jenon Water Springs. When arriving at the destination, you will be amazed with the scenery of its nature. Water springs is so clear, and Sangkaring fish can be seen clearly in the pool. Its water is so cool. Jenon Water Springs atmosphere is so beautiful. Moreover, there are big trees surrounding the pool so that sunlight does not directly illuminate your body. Listener, because pool at the Jenon Water Springs is natural, we suggest you to be careful. Here, you can rent rubber tire with rental cost 5,000 rupiahs until 7,000 rupiahs. At Jenon Complex, there are also facilities such as small mosque and restroom. If you are thirsty or hungry, you do not have to worry because there are stalls surrounding the complex. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Jenon Water Springs. I'm Putri Safety Arela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRW Service Voice of Indonesia with Miss Eleni. In this edition, I will present information about lovely December Festival 2018. So, stay tuned into RRW Service Voice of Indonesia that you can listen to via shortwave on 3325 kHz, streaming at www.voinews.id or RRW Play application on your smartphone. Listeners, this December, the North Toraja District Government will hold Lovely December Festival 2018. This is an annual event initiated by former Governor of South Sulawesi, Syahrul Yasin Limpo. The Lovely December Festival displays various potentials of Toraja arts and culture in the form of art and cultural attractions. Listeners, Lovely December 2018 Festival will be held for 16 days from December 13th until 29th. It is included in the 100 Wonderful Events Indonesia 2018 and has prepared 8 festivals to celebrate this annual festival. The first is the Kande Andulang Festival, which will be held from December 13th until 15th, 2018 at Tugu Kande Andulang and Rantai Pau Art Center. The Kande Andulang Festival will feature a variety of Toraja special arts, which will also be equipped with coffee, food, and traditional arts exhibitions, and will be closed with music performances. The lovely December 2018 festival itself will open at the closing ceremony of the Kande Andulang Festival, which is on December 15, 2018. A series of lovely December 2018 festival events will be continued with the Mountain Festival, which will be held on December 15 until 16, 2018 in Batutu, Mongga. The next in the agenda are three festivals which will be held in the Kete Kesu Tourism Area, namely Arts and Culture Night, Coffee Festival, and Weaving Festival. The three events will be held on December 19 to 22, 2018. Kete Kesu itself is a tourist spot located in the famous Tanah Toraja area. In this place, you can see firsthand the traditional customs and traditional life of the Toraja people. Here, you can also find ancient relics in the form of stone graves, which are estimated to be more than 500 years old. Listeners, the lovely December festival will also be filled by Denpina Sipulung activity, which will be held in Dende Piongan Napo district on December 27th until 28th. Then continued with the Oikumene Christmas celebration at Bhakti Field in Rantai Pau district on December 29th, 2018. The event is also the closing of the lovely December festival itself, which will be held in the same place with a fireworks festival. Well, listeners, that was today's edition of Miscellany featuring the lovely December 2018 festival. I'm Putri Safitri Ardela. We will meet again tomorrow. Bye now.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Calvin Jeremy. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Dua Cinta Satu Hati. Stay with us at www.voinews.id or frequency 3325 kHz.
sadari bila dirimu telah menghancurkan perasaanku. Bagaimana tidak kekasih yang ku sayangi, ku lihat permaja di peluk yang lain. Dua cinta dalam satu hati tak bisa aku terima. Dua cinta dalam satu hati.
Just listen to the first song entitled Dua Cinta Satu Hati, sung by Calvin Jeremy. Dua Cinta Satu Hati, composed by Bambi Noor, is a hit song in his debut album entitled Selamanya. The song, which was accompanied by acoustic guitar, tells about someone's disappointing feeling that he was betrayed by his lover. There are 10 songs in this album, released in 2010. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Maaf.
Sakiti hatimu, meski bukan maksudku untuk lukai perasaan. Kasih maafkanlah,
kasih maafkanlah,
dan jangan kau membisu karena kesalahanku, keegoanku. Berikan ku kesempatan, perbaiki semua karena ku hanya ingin membuatmu bahagia. Ku rindukan tawaran candamu saat ini, biasa mengisi hariku, warnai hidupku.
Ku perlukan cintamu, hadirmu di sini. Ku mohon kembalilah padaku seperti dulu.
Kasih
maafkanlah,
dan jangan kau membisu karena kesalahanku.
Kesalahanku, keegoanku. Berikan ku kesempatan untuk perbaiki semua, karena ku hanya ingin membuatmu bahagia.
Kasih maafkanlah,
dan
jangan kau membisu karena kesalahanku,
keegoanku.
Berikan ku kesempatan, untuk perbaiki semua, karena ku hanya ingin membuatmu bahagia.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Calvin Jeremy. Maaf is a song which tells about someone who wants to improve himself and apologizes to his lover on his egoism. Calvin Jeremy was born in Jakarta in 1991. Besides Dua Cinta Satu Hati, some his single songs which are quite popular are Ada Untukmu and Nostalgia. Some songs in the album entitled Selamanya were arranged by jazz musician Dian Pramana Putra. In pop genre, falsetto is often used to describe melodious and soft voice. The characteristic of the voice belongs to Calvin makes him different from other singers. Calvin is approved in singing. He himself is influenced by his idols. One of them is John Mayer. Well, listener, that was our segment, Music Corner for today, by featuring Calvin Jeremy. To conclude our segment, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Selamanya and Sampai Di Sini. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Ku jalani setiap hariku bersamamu, oh kasihku, oh pujaanku, tetaplah selalu ada di hatiku selamanya. Rasa ini yang telah jauh bawaku terbang ke awan bersamamu selamanya. Yang ku mau, tak ada yang dapat pisahkan cinta kita berdua selamanya. Oh, meski rintangan yang datang untuk menghadang cinta kita, ku kan selalu menjagamu, ku kan selalu di sisimu. Berjuta rasa cinta ini yang akan ku berikan kepadamu, oh kasihku, kepadamu pujaanku selamanya. Dan ku tahu tak semuanya indah, tapi ku kan mencintamu selamanya. Takkan ku berhenti, takkan ku ingkari selamanya. Oh, meski rintangan yang datang untuk menghadang cinta kita, ku kan selalu menjagamu, ku kan selalu di sisimu. Berjuta rasa cinta ini yang akan ku berikan kepadamu, oh kasihku, kepadamu pujaanku, oh. Meski rintangan yang datang.
kan selalu menjagamu, ku kan selalu di sisimu. Berjuta rasa cinta ini yang akan ku berikan kepadamu, oh kasihku, kepadamu pujaanku. Berjuta rasa cinta ini yang akan ku berikan kepadamu, oh kasihku, kepadamu pujaanku.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sound.
Kau juga masih menanti semua buatku bertanya, apa harus bagaimana, oh mengapa semua kisah yang telah lalu terlalu indah untuk dilupakan. Yang buatku masih merasa, yang buatku masih berharap, yang buatku masih menanti. Tenggelam dalam mimpiku dan bayangan dirimu, buatku berharap kau kembali bersama. Tenggelam dalam mimpiku dan bayang-bayang semu, kan ku akhiri semua penantianku. Sampai di sini, sampai di sini.
Semua kisah yang telah lalu terlalu indah untuk dilupakan. Yang buatku masih merasa, yang buatku masih berharap, yang buatku masih menanti.
Sama tenggelam dalam mimpiku dan bayang-bayang semu, kan ku akhiri semua penantianku. Mungkin kau telah pergi dan mungkin tak kembali, tapi kau kan selalu hidup di hatiku.
Sounds. selalu mengganggu di dalam bayangku. Walau kini dirimu telah ada yang punya, ku tak bisa lupakan senyummu. Diriku takkan dapatkan lagi cinta yang dulu pernah terjadi.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.